Let's get started. Tonight, I just want to apologize in advance. I'm going to have to leave like mamish the latest at 8 o'clock because I'm giving a shiur in the west side at 8:15. So we've got to figure out how to get from here to there, get a little kfitzas haderech. So let's get right to it. So two shailas, that two, or we do three? We do two, right? So two, it's been so long. So two shailas that came up. So one of them, I got an email from a friend of mine, a guy, Davin Zemayshul, reads as follows. When I'm at work, especially during the winter, I sometimes, then he puts in parentheses, okay, quite often, don't make it to Mincha, and I need to daven at my desk. My office is relatively small, and the walls are mostly glass. I'm on the eastern side of the building with a window facing east. The natural place to stand for Shmona Esrei is facing the window, like I often do while I'm on a conference call, as opposed to the other side of my office with my back to the glass wall. The problem is, right outside my office is a giant church. No visible getchka, but lots of crosses. Should I not face that way to daven? Okay, so that is Shaila number one. Shaila number two, I got an email last week, this was not from this week, last week that read as follows. Rabbi Leibowitz, this is a very terrifying Shaila on my part. Okay, before you get too nervous, not so terrifying, uncomfortable, I would say. I would classify it as an uncomfortable Shaila on his part. And it goes like this. I regularly listen to your Daf Yomi Shir. Nothing terrifying about that. And I'm contacting you to maintain anonymity in my own community. Again, this is a bit much. It's a bit much of a build-up. So relax. I get why he's not relaxed. But here it is. I am 69 years old and started becoming frum when I was a teenager. I have children and grandchildren who are Shomrei Mitzvos. I am also my shul's president. My bris mila was done nearly 70 years ago by a model, I assume he means mohel, who was not orthodox with a clamp. He was not orthodox, he did the bris with a clamp. It's not that he had an unorthodox way of using a clamp. Having just read an article by Rabbi Jachter on bris-related issues, I fear that the clamps used then rendered me lacking a bris. What is my status and what do I need to do? So that was his shaila. So he got the impression at the beginning that it was going to be, am I Jewish? But no, that wasn't a shaila. He's Jewish, right? That's not the issue. The issue is, as a 70-year-old, does he need to get another bris? Because was there something wrong with his bris? Still not sure why the shul president part matters. Like, there's no exemption on a dumb bris for shul presidents, but you know. But okay, we'll give it to him. So he's a good Jew who serves Klal Yisrael and does the jobs that no one else wants to do, like shul president. Okay, so these are our two shaylos: davening toward a church and a bris at the age of 70. So we'll do a Zoom vote and in-person vote. In-person, as always, carries a little more weight. All those who'd rather talk about davening toward a church. All those would rather talk about a bris at 70? Okay, it's close, but it looks like more people wanted davening toward a church. And on Zoom also more people want to talk about davening toward a church. I have to tell you, I did not see that coming. But okay, let's do it. So what do we have to think about in order to answer this shaila? What kinds of issues are there to think about? So there's an obvious one, and that is, meaning what Avodah Zarah, right? Meaning are you allowed to daven facing a cross? He's facing a whole bunch of crosses. Is he allowed to daven in that direction? What else? Marasayim, meaning that's part of the davening facing a cross, right? Facing Mizrach. How important is it to face Mizrach? Meaning, is that a major value to face Mizrach? Are there other times that we sacrifice that that halacha or that practice of facing Mizrach? What else? So there's one that many people probably wouldn't think of, and that is, are you allowed to daven facing a window to begin with? Meaning, his whole shaila is because of what's on the other side of the window. Maybe there's an issue with davening facing a window to begin with. So I think those are really three issues. Davening in front of windows, davening facing Mizrach, and davening in front of a cross. right? So once we get through those three issues, then we'll be able to arrive at an answer to this question. So let's start with Hakala Kal Tchila, davening in front of windows. There is a Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Lamed Aleph. Amr B'chia Bar Abba, Li Olam Yispalel Adam Bebayis Sheyesh Po Chalonos. A person should always daven in a house that has windows. You should daven in a place that has windows. Gemara quotes a pasuk in Sefer Daniel Perek Vav and says the Chavein Psizin Lebealisei Neged Yerushalayim, that the windows should face toward Yerushalayim, and the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam in Hilchos Tefila Perek Hey, and the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tzadi write Vitzarich Liftoach Chalonos Obsachim Keneged Yerushalayim Kedei Leispalel Kenegdan. They should dafka face toward Yerushalayim in order to open windows toward Yerushalayim so that you could daven by these open windows. Mishabura quotes a Magen Avraham, says that even in a shul with a tzibur, you should be careful to daven by a window, but especially if you're davening b'yichidus. Meaning, davening with a window is not a chisaron, it is a maila. So now we have to balance various mailos versus chisronos. We have a maila of davening toward a window, especially, Mishabura highlights, especially if you're davening b'yichidus, that maila is elevated to daven toward a window, plus the window's facing Mizrach, and on the other hand, there's a church with a bunch of crosses on the other side of that window. Now, why? Why is there such a maila of davening toward a window? So Rashi explains that the windows will help with kavana, because when you look toward Shemaim, you're going to be humbled, so the windows need to be in the direction that you're facing, so you're able to see the broad expanse of Shemaim. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that no, it's just that natural light just gives a person more yishav hadas, and that's going to help with kavana. And when you're in a room that has no windows, you feel like you're in a dungeon. You know, even though we have very good electric lighting and things like that nowadays, like they didn't have in the times of the Rishonim, you still get that sense. I remember when they built the DRS Beis Medrash. When I was the first person to claim a makom in the Beis Medrash was Rav David Willig. He ran right to the front corner of the Beis Medrash where there's a window right there, and he said, natural light. You need natural light when you learn. So and Adayom, that's where he sits all day. That natural light by the front of the Beis Medrash. In the back, they also had natural light. That's where Rabbi Razner and I learned. But still, so the natural light gives a person a sense of yishuv hadas. Rabbi Yona also writes that since you should face the Makom HaMikdash, it's considered a more direct feeler in that direction if there are open windows in that direction. Meaning, it's not as obvious that you're facing the Makom HaMikdash when there's a wall right in front of your face, but when there's a window, so it's more clear. My nafkamina between all these reasons, so nafkamina might be whether the windows have to be in front of you. If it's about natural light, maybe it's better if the window's behind you so the light shines in, on your sitter or something, you're able to see it better. Another nafkamina is if you aren't facing Yerushalayim, should the windows be in the Mizrach, or should they be wherever you're facing? For whatever reason, you can't face Yerushalayim. The Aruch HaShulchan says, according to Rashi, it's difficult to understand why it says Neged Yerushalayim, because it's really about looking toward Shemayim, not toward Yerushalayim. And he says, looking toward Shemayim in the direction of Yerushalayim is what we're really going for. Okay, that's what the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch say about Stam davening toward a window. Now, the Kes Mishnah in the fifth parak of Hilchos Tefillah says that the Rambam writes in a tshuva that you only have to do this when davening in a house, but not in a shul, because in the pasuk Daniel that was davening b'yichidus. So since in the pasuk Daniel was davening b'yichidus, so the whole basis of it is only when you're davening b'yichidus. So this is really a maila that this person has. That meaning when you daven b'yichidus in general, your attitude should be, I really want this tefillah to be perfect, because it needs to be. Meaning when you daven b'tzibur, you have the zchus of the tzibur to help elevate your tefillah, right? You know, the mashal with you're buying one suit or you're buying 1,000 suits, right? So if you're buying 1,000, you'll take the whole lot. You're not going to examine each one carefully. But you buy one, you want to make sure that it looks perfect and that you examine it carefully. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the tefillah of a tzibur without our tefillos maybe being as perfect. But you daven b'yichidus, you want to make sure that everything else. Sometimes people have the opposite. You know, when they daven b'tzibur, they dress nicely and whatever. They daven b'yichidus, so they're in their flip-flops and their pajamas. No, you should, when you daven b'yichidus, you should try to make sure even more so that you're davening thing is proper. So the Kesef Mishnah writes that that's dafka, this maila of davening by a window is dafka when you daven biyachidos. Now that's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch or the immediate Nosei Kelim. Prima Gadim in Eishel Avram says that the reason is that the tefillah b'tzibur is mekubela, so it doesn't require these extra zechiyos, meaning he makes this exact point. And the Levush explicitly says v'tzarech liftach b'beis hakneses chalonos. So the Levush says, no, it's not only about b'yachidus, it's also when you daven b'tzibur. Now the problem is that when you daven, are you supposed to be looking anywhere? Meaning, is that where you're supposed to be looking at a window when you daven? Where are you supposed to look when you daven? Isn't the halacha that you're supposed to look down when you daven? The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tzadiyeh Sif Beis, based on the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Hey, says that you're supposed to look down when you daven because there's a stira between two psukim. The pasuk of Melachim Aleph says, "Vayu ani einai v'libi sham kalayamim," and the pasuk says in Eicha Perek Gimel that Nasolav Venu El Kapayim. And the Gemara says that you should have ein of lamata and libo lamaila, and that way you fulfill both psukim. That physically your eyes are facing down, but your lev is lamaila towards shemayim. Darkei Moshe in Siman Tzadiyei Osbei says that the true meaning of that is sheyachshov belibo ki ilu omeid b'shamayim. This is the Ramah talking. That when it says that you should be libo bashamayim, it means that you should think in your mind as if you are standing in shamayim, and all of the pleasures and the enjoyments of this world are like nothing. Remove your neshama from your guf. And then once you've achieved that location in your tefillah, then put yourself in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis Yosef raises this question, that if anyway you have to look down, then what's the value of the windows? What are the windows going to do for you? So he first answers that that's why Rabbeinu Yonah says that the purpose of the windows is the natural light. It's not to look through the windows, but to appreciate the light that comes from the windows. According to Rashi, though, it doesn't work, right? According to Rashi, the whole idea of the windows was that it helps with kavanah because you're looking toward shamayim, you're looking out the windows. So the Beis Yosef explains that once in a while you look up to refocus. Meaning, you're looking down when you daven, but every once in a while you look up to you know, Tata and Himmel, you look up to shamayim, and it gives you a certain amount of focus. So the Mishra Berurah and Siman Tzadiyeh Sif Kalachas points out that when inevitably you lose focus, you'll be able to lift your eyes to shamayim to be ma'orer kavana. The Mishnah Berurah also suggests to look out the window before you begin davening. Machzor Shekel explains differently. He says that you're not supposed to look out the windows. He says the reason for the windows is so that you realize that wherever you are, the tefillah travels first to Yerushalayim and then to Shemayim. So it just gives it like an imagery of the scene, is that that's where the tefillah is going. Now, where do you get the impression that you should not daven toward a window? Adarabba, all the Chazal and the Shulchan Aruch and all the Nosei Kelim say dafka you should daven right by a window, is because if you look behind you at the windows that are right behind you in this room, you will see that those windows aren't just windows. At this time of night, they are mirrors. And the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tzadiyeh Sif Gadol Ein Alef says you're not supposed to daven in front of a mirror because that looks like you're bowing to your own reflection, and that's why you don't daven in front of a window at night. You daven in front of a window during the daytime, but not at night. Now, this fellow is davening mincha. Right, so mincha is hopefully when it's still light outside, right? So he doesn't have this drawback. And the Tshuvas Or L'Tzion, Rabban Tzion Abba Shaul says, you know, if you have to daven in front of a mirror, just close your eyes, and that's fine. In Shevet Alevi, Chelek Tesim Chafalev, Rav Ozner says that in front of a mirror is a problem. A window at night is not a problem. Meaning, a window at night is just that it naturally becomes that you're able to see a reflection, but no one thinks you're dafka davening toward yourself. A mirror, the whole mahus of a mirror, is so that you can see yourself. The point of windows is so that you can see outward. Fine. That's as far as davening toward a window. So what we've discovered is that it's apparently a very great maila to daven toward a window. What about davening toward Yerushalayim? Also a very great maila. Where do we get such a great maila? So, I mean, where do we learn that there's such a maila? So there were two sugs in Shas that talk about where you're supposed to face when you daven. There's a Gemara in Brachos Taf Lamed Amin Aleph that says that that a person is not able to be mechavin the ruchos. He doesn't know what direction is what. He should be mechavin libo l'shamayim. But generally speaking, haya omid b'chutz la'aretz yichavin eslibo k'neged Eretz Yisrael. Haya omid b'Eretz Yisrael yichavin eslibo k'neged Yerushalayim. Haya omid b'Yerushalayim yichavin eslibo k'neged Beis Hamikdash. Haya omid Beis Hamikdash yichavin eslibo k'neged Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it quotes psukim for each of these stages. If you're in Chutz Laretz, face Eretz Yisrael. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, to face Yerushalayim. Psukim that tell us all of these things. So very, very clearly, the focal point of the tefillos of Jews throughout the world is supposed to be centered on Yerushalayim. It's a little bit funny because you have the other Gemara in the second paragraph of Masechet Bava Basra, that doesn't seem to be nearly as definitive that you're supposed to face Yerushalayim. In fact, it says, it depends what you want out of your tefillah. Meaning, what are you davening for? So, if you're davening to become a Talmud Chacham, so Yadrim, then you face the south, because the menorah is Bedarim, the menorah represents Chachma, so you face the south. If you're davening for what most people are davening for, that they should have... is that too cynical? That they should become rich, that they should have more money. So then Yatzpin, then you face the north, because the Shulchan is in the Tzafon, and the Shulchan represents wealth. Rabbi Shimon Levi Omar, Li'olam Yadrim, Shemitok Shem Schachim Esasher. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, no. You should always face south, because if you want to really become wealthy, it's very helpful to be smart. So if you develop Chachma, you'll then be able to use that Chachma to achieve wealth. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amar Shechina b'Marav. Didn't Rabbi Shimon Levi say you're supposed to face the Shechina? The Shechina is in the west. Mitzadei datzudei. He did some sort of positioning of his body at an angle. Because Bavel, where it says Bavel is Tzafon, Eretz Yisrael. Bavel is north of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, if you're in Bavel, you should face the south if you want to face toward Eretz Yisrael. But the bottom line is, we have to, on the one hand, Rabbi Shimon Levi says you daven toward the south. On the other hand, he says you daven toward the west, because Shechina b'Marav. So the Gemara gives this answer, mitzadei datzudei. So the Gemara in Bava Basra also talks about facing the Shechina, except the Gemara throws in this other factor as well, of mitzadei datzudei. So there is a whole discussion in Poskim, exactly how to deal with that stira. The tour quotes the Gemara in Brachos that you should always face Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh HaKadosh, Mashuas HaShechina, and then he writes, Ukahach Shmeitza Kaimelon, Velokai Debabasra Depligi Amorai Perek Lo Yachbar. So what's he telling you? How am I Miyashiv the two Gemaras? They're a stira, you got a paskin like one of them. Gemara in Brachos says you face the Shechina, the Gemara in Babasra says, yeah, it depends what you want out of your tefillah, so we paskin like the Gemara in Brachos, not like the Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra. So therefore, he doesn't even mention the whole idea of mitzadei datzudei, because it's not relevant. However, the Beis Yosef writes that the minhag is not like the Tur. He says b'nei chutz laretz would be mispalel l'tzafon o l'darom, and he says that the das of the poskim is that it's ro'ui to be mitzadei datzudei al kol panim, that you should be mitzadei datzudei. What does that mean? So either it means you daven toward Eretz Yisrael, but you just tilt a little bit toward the north or toward the south. Or it means that you daven toward the north or toward the south, and you tilt a little bit toward Eretz Yisrael, meaning that there's your primary direction, and then there's like, you know, which way you're shuckling, or like, you know, if you're angling your body a little bit. So that's two deos that the Beis Yosef quotes. In Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you should daven keneged makom hashuras hashchina, and he says, if you're not going to daven neged Eretz Yisrael, at least be mitzadid rosho neged Eretz Yisrael. At least turn your head toward Eretz Yisrael. He does not say what the reason is that not to turn your body to Eretz Yisrael and your head toward wherever else. It could be that he's passing a Shitas Rashi, that the mitzadid datzudei means panav klapei ashchina, that your body is so sometimes just facing in the other way. You know, Rav Shechter has a shita that under the chuppah, there are different deos which way to face under the chuppah. Should the chasan and kala face the crowd? Should they dafka face away from the crowd? Right. So some people think the chasan and kala should face the crowd because it's derech eretz. Everyone came to you to watch you get married, and you're going to turn your back on them and not let them see you get married. Others say that no, if you face the crowd, then it's not a private moment. It's much more private if you face away from the crowd, much more tsanua. You know, you don't want to be thinking about 500 people when you're under the chuppah. I think Rav Huttner was makbid dafka that they should face the crowd because he didn't like that the Masada Kiddushin would be facing the crowd. Because if the Masada Kiddushin facing the crowd, it looks like the Masada Kiddushin is the one that hereby declares them man and wife. That he's the one that marries them. That's the expression that people use. That, you know, the Masada Kiddushin married you. No, he's Masader your Kiddushin. You have to marry your wife. The Masada Kiddushin does not like anoint you married. You know, he's just making sure that you did it, that you get married. But Rav Shach HaSakvad says they should face Mizrach, which is kind of funny sometimes. You know, Mizrach is sometimes at a weird angle. So at, you know, Marina Del Rey, you'll notice if you see Rav Shach the Masada Kiddushin there, when he says the Birchas Harrison, he'll often say, if you could just tilt your bodies a little bit in that direction, and it just for the Birchas Harrison, for the whole rest of the chuppah, they can face whatever way they want, and the photographer can get great pictures. But during the Birchas Harrison, he has them tilt their bodies a little bit in that direction. He used to not be so makbid about it. I think, in general, you find that as Rashi Yeshiva get older, they're a little less afraid of being assertive, I think, in terms of their shittos. Asked Rabbi Willig once about using a microphone for saying the brachos under the chuppah. So he said, when I was younger, if they, you know, I never wanted to, but when I was younger, if they, you know, they would stick a microphone in front of my face, I would just, I would use it. He said, but now I'm the oldest one under the chuppah. I could, you know, I'm the boss. I could push away the microphone. I could do whatever I want. So anyway, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins that really should face the Shekhinah. So there is this value of facing Mizrach, certainly. Now we get to the main issue, right? So we already said, great value in facing a window, great value in facing Mizrach. But what happens when there's a church on the other side of the window, when there are crosses on the other side of the window? So Rashi, in Shemos Perek Tes, on the words, Vayomrei Lev Moshe Ketzesias Yer Ephros Eskapai, El Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, as soon as I leave this city, I'm going to spread my hands out in tefillah toward Hashem. Rabbi Reisman points out that this is one of those things that seems to have changed from the times of Tanakh in tefillah, from the times of Tanakh to nowadays. And apparently, that used to be how you daven. Ephros Eskapai. That used to be the way to daven. Now, how do you daven? You know, you keep your hands to yourself when you daven. We no longer have this Ephros Eskapai. Tefillah B'kol is another one, right? There are certain things that seem to have changed from Tanakh. But anyway, so the so Rashi on the spot writes, why does he have to leave the city if he wants to daven? So Rashi writes, Avol betocha ir lo espalel levishaisa meleya gelulu. He wouldn't daven in the city because the city was full of avodah zarah. Gelul literally means excrement, but that's the way we refer to avodah zarah because we find avodah zarah abhorrent. We find avodah zarah disgusting. So it seems that you cannot daven when avodah zarah is present, and it seems you can't even daven when avodah zarah is present in the city, let alone when you're facing a base avodah zarah, which at the end of the day, you know, Christianity, we Paskin, undoubtedly, is Avodah Zarah. And even though there's a minority view in Poskim that it's not Avodah Zarah for Christians, for non-Jews, it's certainly Avodah Zarah for a Jew, right? So these are symbols of Avodah Zarah. However, if you look at the Medrash that Rashi's quoting, the Medrash says, Mikan shlo haya Moshe chafetz lehispalel betoch Mitzrayim. Moshe did not want to daven in Mitzrayim because of the gilulim that were there. Now, that makes it sound like it was his own personal hakpada, that it wasn't a halacha, it wasn't asr mi'ikra adin. And anyway, it seems pretty clear that this was Moshe Rabbeinu's own lifnim mishuras adin, because where does it say that you have to leave a city that has avodah zarah in it? Meaning, couldn't he have just gone back home? Couldn't he have gone into any Jewish home that didn't have symbols of avodah zarah in it? Because there's avodah zarah in the city, you're not allowed to daven there? That seems to not be a halacha. Now, the Ramah in Aruch Chaim Siman Tzadi Dalid writes, based on the Trumas Hadeshin, Simon Hey, Misha Baba Derech, Vu Samuch Lemalon. If you're traveling and you're near a place to stop, to rest, to sleep over, Im Yachol is Stalik Menadarch, Makam Shalev Siku over Idrachim, if you're able to pull over to the side of the road and you're not going to be distracted, you Stalik Sham, Velo Yispal Bemalon, Shalov Dichavim, Shloiv Al Bulu Bene Abayas, Avalimi Efshar, He says, better not to be mispal b'malon. Now, the way I saw this quoted in the Tshuvas Lev Avraham, Simon Chavtes, the Lev Avraham, Avraham Weidenfeld, I think it was, says that what's the problem with the malon is that there are symbols of Avodah Zarah of the malon. There are all sorts of crosses and things like that. So that's why you'd rather not daven there, so better to pull over on the side of the road. If you're not going to be able to have kavan on the side of the road, so go into the malon and just find a corner where you're not facing the Avodah Zarah. So the case, it's interesting though, because the Magen Avraham over there points you to the Magen Avraham writes, Lo ratza ri li kanes bitfilin le beis ha'akum kal v'chomer l'spalo, that Rabbi Yoshua, I think it is, would not enter a beis ha'akum even with tefillin on, so kal v'chomer you can't enter a beis ha'akum to daven. And I think the assumption they're working with is that the beis ha'akum has some sort of symbols of the kochavim of Avodah Zarah itself. That Gemara, what's the Gemara is he referring to? It's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos about Dan Lekav Schus, right? The Gemara tells us, a Braisa, that one time Talmid Chachamim had to meet with a certain noble woman that all the Gedolei Romi were Metsuyin Etzla. She was a woman, noble woman didn't really mean noble woman. Matronisa really meant a woman that the politicians used to hang out with, but maybe Yavin, right? Meaning, where are the politicians hanging out, right? So the and one time he had to meet with her. So they said, who's going to go? So they said, Rabbi Yeshua should go. Rabbi Yeshua said, I'll go. So Rabbi Yeshua went, and his talmidim saw him, and he gets to the Pesach Beisa. He takes off his tefillin, Berichuk Dalet Amos, and he goes in and he locks the door behind him. The talmidim are, you know, we're about to follow him in. Door slams, locks, and they're like, oh, I guess we're not invited in. And then after he comes out, he goes to the mikveh and he teaches his talmidim. So he says to his talmidim, when you saw me take off my tefillin, b'mech hashadetuni, what were you choshed me? So they said, kasavar rabbi lo yichnasu divrei kedusha makom tumah. We figured he didn't want to bring kedusha into makom tumah. Meaning, what would be the natural thing to assume? He's about to have tashmish amita, so you got to take off your tefillin for tashmish amita. No, no, we just understood you didn't want to keep your tefillin in the makom tumah. B'shoshana alti b'mech hashadetuni. When I closed and locked the door, what did you think? So Amarnu Shema Dvar Malchus Yesh Beinu Levena. We figured this was something that was a royal secret that we couldn't be let in on. What about when I went to the mikveh afterwards? Did you think maybe Balkari, something? So he said, Amarnu Shema Nitzu Tzinor Mipi Al Bigdol Shel Rebbe. She, maybe when she was speaking, some saliva came out of her mouth and hit your beged, and therefore you felt that you needed tefillah. So Amar Lahem Havoda Kacha. He said, you guessed right on all three. Vatem Keshem Shadantuni Lizchus Amakom Yodin Eschem Lizchus. That just like you were Dan Mi Lekavchus Hashem Shadai. So that's the Gemara. Magen Avraham says, you see, they didn't want to bring his tefillin even into a makom of Avodah Zarah. So in the Tshuvas Lev Avraham, he writes that he talks about davening in a hospital room with a cross. You're at Holy Cross Hospital, St. John's Hospital, something like that, and every room has a cross in it. So he writes, La Halacha, just don't face the cross. That if you don't face the cross, it's totally fine. What's the issue with facing the cross? So the Shulchan Aruch in Or Chaim Sim Kuf Yud Gimel Siv Ches writes, Hamispalel Ubak Negdo Goy V'yeshel Shesivari Biyado. If a non-Jew is holding a cross and you're davening and he comes right toward you, V'yigil Makom Sheshochin Bo, and you get up to modim, lo yishcha afal pishli b'lishmayim. Even though you're just having in mind modim, don't bow when there's someone holding a cross right near you. Magen Avraham refers you to your Yoredei Simon Kuf Nun, and over there it's a little more nuanced. The Rama over there says, don't bow in front of a person carrying a cross, but he writes, rather, yasir kova v'yishtach v'kodem boam. That if there's a sar that you need to bow to and he's coming and he's holding a cross, take off your hat and bow before he arrives. Because if you bow after he arrives, it looks like you're bowing to his cross. But then he says, V'yesh makilin b'davar, hol v'yadua shagam ov li chavim in a masir makova, mishachim l'tzor zchamer rak la sar. If it's not, if people don't bow to that cross in general, then no one's going to think you're bowing to the cross, because nobody bows to that cross. So if even the Ovdei Chavim don't bow to that cross, then it wouldn't be a problem. He says, we should be machmir kesfar rishona. So it turns out, l'chora, that the whole issue is a Maris HaAyin issue of bowing toward the cross. But if there's no Maris HaAyin issue, then it wouldn't be an issue. I mean, you're not even in front of the church. You're in a neighboring building. The church is somewhere else. It's just that you happen to have, it's in your line of sight. But you're not even, no one would even associate you as being with the church, as davening toward the church, as anything like that. It just happens to be within your line of sight. So this fellow told me he already worked through the Shaila and he faces a different direction. I'm not so sure that he has to. I think very, very likely he's that you have the Maila of Mizrach, you have the Maila of a window, and you're not really, the whole issue with davening toward the cross is that you're going to be bowing toward a cross is an issue of Maris HaAyin. And I don't think you have that problem here. No one bows. Plus, you have that other sniff that no one bows to the crosses on the outside of a church. As far as I know, I've never seen people just stop in the middle of the street and bow to the cross on the outside of a church. Okay, we'll stop there. I got to run. I got to get to the west side. Have a great Shabbos.